Welcome to my first podcast. This is Sean Renitti. I'll be your host today. And basically what I want to do is talk about writing, how I got into writing, the format of, you know, things that I've learned, the formatting, copywriting, all the different things I've learned along the way, touching base on some of the things, I guess. I can't remember everything, but so here goes. When I was younger, I actually loved reading, writing, not so much like novel type writing, but writing stories that were in my head, writing them down and then adding to them. I thought it was fun. Or having someone else write something and then me embellishing upon that. But so the thing that really got me going was I used to watch a lot of movies when I was younger. Things like mostly horror films. I got into horror films a lot. Even the bad horror films, I actually enjoyed those. I remember going to the video store when I was younger and buying the, they had a, this went back when they had videotapes, and they used to do like a five videos for 5 nights, for $5. And, you know, pick out, I remember, you know, visually seeing the cover, and that's what got me to buy each one of them. So I used to watch a lot of movies, and, you know, just, then I became intrigued in, when it come to reading, I was intrigued into, oh, mystery books, anything from like, you know, Alfred Hitchcock Presents Three Investigators. They were kind of like the Hardy Boys books, a little bit different. They were small, like 180, maybe 190 page books. And they had several different authors that wrote them throughout the, they actually started those in the late 60s, through the 70s and even through the 80s that they wrote. So, and in fact, I actually collect those books to this day. I haven't gotten the whole complete collection, but I've got probably over half of them now. So, other things I used to read were like fantasy, a lot of the, you know, swordsman type, hobbit type books, and, you know, gotten all into that. And ended up, you know, I'd read anything really. I mean, I've my taste from when I was younger till even now. You know, if it was good, I'd read it. I really didn't get into a lot of romance or anything like that, of course. But the thriller, suspense, horror, fantasy, sci-fi stuff really is the stuff that I remember growing up on. So, when I was younger, of course, I was a musician, if you all know me. And, you know, playing anything from like in a symphony to jazz bands. And so performing was something in my blood. And, you know, once, you know, he played in rock bands and things like that. But when I got older, as I, you know, I did record at my house, I used to still do to, I guess, to an extent, dabble in music and, find entertainment in that. But as I got older, I still wanted to do something that I created. And music filled that, crevice, I guess, for most of the time period. But, I wanted something else, that something I could leave behind, you know, that, you know, once you write your first book, of course, it's something that you've done that's always going to be there. And that kind of, you know, when I got to the point, you know, I wanted to do it for 20 some years. I never had the opportunity to, until I just said, you know what, I want to write a book. And my wife just said, well, then do it. And I was, okay, I guess I'm going to do this. So going into it, I had no clue what I was doing. All I know is I'm going to write. And along the way, you find, just like any author can agree with me about, you know, you find little things that you learn along the way, whether this works for you that way. Everybody writes differently. All I know is I had stories in my head I got to get them out on paper. So things that worked for me, I guess I'll go through a couple things. Whenever I started, jotting a map of what I wanted to write was important. So what I would do is I would start with chapter one, and I would go through and not technical, not, I mean, it's not an intricate outline that I do. I've seen some people that do outlines that by the time they're done writing their outline, they could have written a book already. That wasn't what I was trying to do, because I think it's a waste of time. I would build my character list, and you know, the main characters in there, and I would put definitions as far as who they were, what they look like, what you know, anything that was involving the character, their personality, their different little integral things that, you know, if they were very OCD, they definitely list that. And so a description of the character. And along the way, if I had to introduce another character, I would, you know, add to that character list. Another thing I would do is, like I was, let me go back to what I was talking about, chapter one. I would put a description as far as what I want happening in chapter one. And not detailed as far as how it went or whatever, just so I could maybe refer to it back, you know, and say, okay, then John Smith, you know, I'm going to introduce that character, and I want to do this in there, and I want to for this to happen. And it's a nice way to refer back and to make sure that you don't have loose ends and you forget to tie them up. So I think it's a nice way to do, and most people do some kind of like mapping like that. So I'd go through the whole, you know, what. And sometimes you have to move those things, you know. You might want to introduce it in chapter 9, you want to do this, but you wrote this whole elaborate scene of the book where you're telling this whole detailed thing, and you can't fit it into that chapter. Maybe you have to move it to the next chapter, maybe, you know, or you get a different idea at the time. So some people even ask me, well, what happens whenever you come up with a different idea of, you know, when you introduce it into a chapter, and then you have to write, well, you can add, you could subtract. Sometimes you find an idea that just doesn't work, and sometimes you just have to take it out and say, oh, you know what, I'm not going to do that. The book is turning into this, and this is one thing I wanted to introduce or whatever. So sometimes you have to add or subtract, like I said. So some people, you know, a lot of times I get advice that, and I give the same advice too. If you're going to write, you write. You just write and write and write. And don't worry about anything else. I'm very OCD when it comes to writing and having a particular way of writing. It works for me. Maybe it wouldn't work for you. Some people could just write and write and don't worry about the formatting, don't worry about spelling, don't worry about punctuation, don't worry about anything until the end, and then they love to maybe edit then from there on. And, you know, editing is its own monster. The way I do it is I write in a format already, so it's there. So that's one less thing I have to do if I'm writing in that format. So the book's already formatted as soon as I'm done. Another thing I do is after every writing session, I use a program called Grammarly. Grammarly will catch a lot of errors that you make, spelling, punctuation. They do have a premium as well. So sentence formation, you know, different things like that. So once I go through my writing session, I do run it through a Grammarly, and then I go back and I read it to make sure it makes sense to the readers, what I wrote. And then as I go along, I kind of am editing a little bit, I guess. So it's kind of a clean version whenever you want to go back and you finish your book and you've written everything out, and you know, you go back and you kind of, your story's already written, it's formatted, it's kind of cleaned up already, you know. So then you want to read it back, you know, with content, see if it makes sense. Of course, go through the grammatical things that you miss, and maybe you want to embellish a little bit, or just describe something a little bit better. Maybe it doesn't make sense. It's needs a little bit of description or paint, you know, painting the picture. So that's one thing I do. But when I got into writing, I like the fact that I didn't know everything. And a lot of times when you know too much, sometimes I think it helps, of course, along the way next time you write a book. But it was fun. It made it fun for me to learn everything about how to do this, or how to, you know, and then you do the investigation as far as what is involved into it. And I felt that was, it made my writing even fun, that where I, the only thing I could do was eat, drink, and sleep writing. I wanted to learn so much, and along the way, I've spent time listening to other people and what advice they had and how to do things and what was better, you know, this versus that, you know. And so nowadays, they have, you know, platforms out there that you can write a book. You don't need to be traditionally published. You know, you could just write and get your stuff out there for other people to enjoy. I don't write to necessarily be a millionaire. I don't write for a specific person or because it's a job. I just enjoy doing it for myself, and that's the biggest thing. You know, years ago when I used to play in these bands, and we used to get booked, and a lot of times you get the booking, and then it becomes a business more so than the enjoyment of playing and creating. That's when you don't want to do it anymore. So writing's the same way. I don't want it to become a business, even though it is a kind of a business. But you don't want to also lose the creativity as you're writing, because you're focusing on marketing, or, you know, and you'll learn how to market eventually. You'll learn how to, the things that work, and we'll talk about that later on, maybe in another podcast. Things that work in marketing, things that don't. Things that you'll waste your money on, and you learn through it. You've got to listen, though, and learn that way from many people that have experienced that end of it, especially if you're not a marketer. Finding exactly what you want to write was easy for me. Some people have a hard time with that. I know what I like, and I write what I like. So it does make it enjoyable. I'm not writing because, oh, there's romance novels out there that are, you know, crushing the numbers, and they're, you know, they're just making so much money. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not trying to make as much money as I can. I write what I like, and I enjoy it doing it. So that's why I probably will never see myself writing in another genre except that suspense, thriller, horror, you know. I don't even think I'll write fantasy, even though I like fantasy. I like reading it, but I probably won't. It's not what I like to write, and that's what one thing you have to come to terms with is what you like to write. So once I wrote my first book, you know, I was figuring out all the ins and outs of how to get it published, how, you know, I had a way to get it published, and they have an Amazon company, their own company called CreateSpace, and they make it very easy. One suggestion I would make is to never, ever, ever try to make your own cover unless you are that artist, and get feedback from everybody about it, because covers sell. Covers and your description are first thing that people are going to see. And if you don't have those down, then you might as well forget it. Look at other people that you've read, that you like, that are selling, if that's what the case. See what their covers look like. What is the, you'll find a certain, like in a genre, you'll find the certain thing that's consistent throughout with everybody's cover. And that's, you know, jump on the bandwagon with that. It's nothing wrong with that. I know, like, the thriller suspense novels that are out there, usually have that big font in the front cover. So use that, you know. That's what sells. Your description has to be very, very good. No doubt there are people out there that write descriptions. You know, you can get pay someone to do that. You are going to have somewhat of an investment into yourself, whether it be covers, whether it be descriptions. But for the most part, to create a book on your own doesn't cost too much. The marketing, on the other hand, would probably cost you a little bit of money, whether you're advertising it. But there's some free stuff that you can do. And outsourcing that and finding what actually works, what doesn't work. You know, we all know Facebook's out there. You can advertise things. And with the algorithms that they made, you know, you can kind of get out there, you know, and do live broadcast if you're not familiar with it or how to do it. You know, there's ways. Ask. I mean, one of the nice things I know that if you do have problems out there, you can ask certain groups. I get involved with a lot of writer groups that are on Facebook. And, you know, whenever you go and you find these groups, you can ask questions like that. They sometimes might have an easy answer. It's like, oh, I never even thought of that. And let me check it out. And boom, you have your solution. So, you know, when it comes to advertising, there's so many different things you can do. Get out into the public. That's a fun thing always to do, because you're talking about your book. You're not just reading a description. You know, do something outside the box when it comes to marketing. You know, I went to several different you know, book festivals and different things that I was engaged in, and book signings and that. And a lot of people that I look at other authors and see what they do and maybe get some ideas, but you know, sometimes you have to think outside of them, and I don't understand why they don't do things to help themselves sell books. You know, you can't just sell books on the internet. You can, but I mean, you want to get out to the public, and people want to meet, you know, that author that wrote that book that they're really, really enjoying. So, you know, and you get out there and have marketing material, have nice marketing material, besides your book. You know, gather, one of the biggest things is get an email list going, because whenever you have something, some kind of event going on or a new release, you want to definitely hit that, those readers that have already read your book or are on your email list or want to know what's going on, in your world. But marketing material, definitely, you know, just signage, bookmarks. I found that bookmarks are better than any kind of like business cards. People throw business cards away, let's face it. You know, how many times you get a business card and it's not even something that you're interested in or need, gets thrown out. You know, getting a web page set up, of course, is something. You know, and there's lists out there. You can go on the internet and find, you know, what are the lists of things that I need to do when I first write a book. And it's like a to-do list, you know, accomplish those, whether it's getting your web page set up or where you're going to sell it or who's distributing for you or, you know, all the ins and outs. So, but like I said, it just, to me, I wanted to get into something that I can still be creative. It's for me. If along the way people like my stories, like what I do, that's great, you know. And if you're making money on something that you enjoy doing, that's definitely a plus as well. You know, I know I get a lot of questions as far as, do I want to ever go traditional? I don't know. At this point, I don't know. If they have something to offer, something more than what I'm doing right now on my own, I'm doing all that, you know. I know some people don't like the whole, you know, here's my manuscript, you do what you need to do to get it out there, and, you know, they create the cover, they do all the editing, they do, you know, if you don't enjoy doing that, yeah, try to get traditionally published, but there's nothing saying that you can't do it on your own and do everything, you know. So basically what I'm trying to say is, if you want to do something and you think that you can't do it, you know, you might surprise yourself. because I never thought that I would really realistically write a book. And I did it. So if I can do it, you can do it. And don't be afraid, because you're always going to learn things. You're not going to know everything out there. Don't be afraid to learn. And if you're that person that can learn things along the way and pick up things here and there to help you and support you, then so be it. But, you know, when I wrote my first book, it was definitely a lesson learned. I know a lot more now than what I had in the past or when I even began. And I'm still learning as I go along. And, you know, I plan on not stopping writing, I guess, what I'm trying to say. And, you know, I'm going to continue to write as long as people like it and people enjoy it. It's a source of entertainment. And I learn in different things, whether it be marketing, whether it be writing, whether it be how to sell this or different ways of distributing or everything, different ways of maybe technology even. I'm learning about different technology that's coming about, and you know, it's so getting to the point now that everything's at the touch of your fingertips, basically, and maybe just vocally here coming soon. You know, I know that when it comes to like this podcast, even, you know, people want to hear things maybe while they're driving, and they don't necessarily need the laboring of the reading part of it, and they want to learn something. So anyway, this is my first podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed some of the things. I just wanted to get it out there, introduce myself as an author, what I write, where to find me, I should say. It's real easy, just seanrenitti.com. Check out my stuff. I'm not here to... I don't want this podcast being anything as far as advertising. I will mention my books. I think a lot of people would want to know after hearing this where to find it and everything. But you can find anything on my webpage, seanrenitti.com. My first book, Secrets of a Stranger. It's a thriller suspense book. It's a great read, a good page turner. Many people told me that they just couldn't put it down after they hit a certain section of the book. So check it out. It's on Amazon. It's on all big websites, Barnes & Noble. It's, you know, everywhere out there. I have my ebook out there as well. It's available through Amazon. I've got a second book following it. It is the volume 2 part of Secrets of a Stranger. It's called Arrival of a Stranger, coming out May of 2018. Just finishing up on that. Then it goes to basically the editors. And that'll be out in May as well. I will definitely tell you, if you go to my webpage right now, today being March 24th, started yesterday, March 23rd, till the end of April, April 30th. Right now I have exclusively Secrets of a Stranger on sale. You can't get it anywhere, not even on Amazon, for the price I got it. Just follow the link to buy the book. And also, if you sign up on my email list, that'll enter you in for a chance to win a signed copy of the second book coming out in May. So do that. I guess that's it. Just going to be playing around with these podcasts, learning, see if this is something that everybody wants to listen to. I think later on I'll probably be more formatted as far as what I do in these podcasts, whether it be maybe having other speakers on here, maybe people with their books, introducing them, maybe some news about writing, maybe some, you know, different things like that. I'll get a little bit more formatted, but I definitely wanted to get this first podcast done about me and go from there. So thank you for listening. This is the Sean Renitti podcast coming at you on March 24th. So keep reading, keep learning, and we'll see you soon.